Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Pei Ches. We open with a quote from the Mishnah, Minechosim Mishuabodim. The Mishnah had mentioned back on Daf Pei Zayin that a woman who comes to collect her ksuba, and in the meantime her husband had sold off all his properties to purchasers. She, however, has a lien on those properties. In her attempt to collect from the purchasers, the Mishnah said she has to swear. She has to swear that she had not received any payment, that her ksuba was not paid up, and that's why she's turning to them now. The Gemara. Tanan Hosam. V'chein ha-yisoymim lo yiforu elo b'shvua. Likewise, yisomim are to be paid only if they take a shvua. Miman, from whom are the yisomim, the orphans, collecting that they need to take a shvua? Ilemo milove, if you were to think that it's from the borrower, in other words, their father had loan money and never collected, died before he collected it, and his heirs, his orphans, are coming to collect the money owed to their father. And this source is then teaching us that they do not collect unless they swear to the love. Well, this is hard to understand. The Gemara asks, Hashto avihen shokil belo shvua. Mind you, their father would collect without having to take an oath. Ve'inu b'shvua. And they, as orphans, have to take an oath. That can't be. Elohochi ko'omar. Rather, what the source is saying is as follows. V'chein ha-yisoymim min ha-yisoymim lo yifaru elo b'shvua. Orphans of a malve, who are trying, the malve is the lender, who are trying to come to collect the debt from the orphans of the love. Not from the love himself, but from his orphans, namely that their father owed these people's father money, so the orphans who are coming to collect need to swear to the orphans of the borrower. Omer of Yizrika, Omer of Yehuda. You notice that we have an aleph here. A few lines later, there's a beis, will be a second version of what Rabbi Zrika is saying. Omer of Yizrika, Omer of Yehuda. Lo shanu elo sheomru yisoymim. Lo shanu means this teaching that if they swear they will get paid, this is true only if the yisoymim of the love had said, Omar lonu abo, abo told us lovisi uparati, that father had borrowed money, but father claimed he paid it up. Avol omru. But if they said the following, Omar lonu abba lo lovisi, if father had said, I have not borrowed, af bishvua lo yiporu, then even with taking a shvua, even with taking an oath, the yisaimim of the malva will not get their collection. They will not be able to collect. Maskif lo rova adarabba. Rava asked quite to the contrary. We have a rule, Kol Omer lo lovisi, people who make the claim, I never borrowed, and of course this is in the context of them, a person being approached with paying back the loan, pay back the money that I lent you. And his reaction is, lo lo visi, ka'oimer lo parati domi. It's tantamount to saying that I never paid back. Rashi, that appears on the fourth to last narrow line, Rashi says, ka'oimer lo parati domi, the keva domer lo lova, since he's saying, I didn't borrow, modehu shelo para, he's confessing that he didn't pay back. There's a document, we didn't mention that before, there's a bill of collection that the collector is holding. So the claim that I didn't borrow, in the face of a signed document that you did borrow, is tantamount to saying I never paid back. I think it's explained elsewhere that when someone, just like someone who never borrowed, so he never had to pay back, so that he never in fact paid back because he never really did borrow, so to over here, when someone is saying, when we know someone borrowed is claiming I didn't borrow, it's really as if he's saying I didn't pay back. Elo, the Gemara goes on, I itmar hochi itmar, if Rabbi Zriko ever said anything, he said the following, lo shonu, the Tanaic source that taught that you need to take, that a shvur needs to be taken, this is lo shanu elo sheomru yisaimim, where the orphans had said, omar lanu abo lovisio parati, where father said, I borrowed and I paid back. So then we impose a shvur on the yisaimim of the malve to, in order to collect. Avol omru, if the yisaimim of the loiva said, omar lanu abo lo lovisi, Nifroyin Shaloi Bishwa, then the Musumim of the Malva are able to collect even without taking Yeshua, Shikol Omer Lo Lo Visi, anyone who says, I didn't borrow, Ka'oimer Lo Parati Domi. It's tantamount to saying, I never paid back. V'nifras Shaloi Bifonov Loi Tifra Elo Bishwa. This too was taught in the Mishnah, that a woman who is coming to collect her ksuba and the husband is not there, she needs to take a shvua that she hadn't received any payment yet. Omar Rav Acho Sar Habira, Maise Bo Lifnei Reb Yitzchok Nafcha Bantuchya. An incident came to the attention of Reb Yitzchok in Antuchya, name of a place. The Omar Lo Shonu Elo Liksubas Isha Mishum Chena. The Mishnah that is teaching us that she'll get collection through the court's intervention, based and will descend upon the individual's property, not in his presence. He's abroad. This intervention on the part of Beisdin is for the woman to collect her ksuba. And that is because of the chena consideration. This is a point we've mentioned a few times in the past. Chena from the word chen, grace. That the that women shall find men, appropriate and suitable for marriage, knowing that they will have a financial guarantee if they should get divorced or become widowed. And in order to promote this, to energize this feeling within women, Beisdin will take action in order for the woman to collect her ksuba. Aval bal choiv loy. But when it comes to a lender of money who is trying to collect his debt from a borrower who is not around, so Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha is telling us that the court will not get involved. In other words, the court will not descend upon his property in order to enable a lender to collect his debt. The Rova Omar Rav Nachman, Afilu Balchoiv, the same will apply to a Balchoiv, that the court will intervene. Shelo Yehe Kol Echod Ve'echod Noitil Moisev Shochavero. So as to prevent a situation of people borrowing money, taking loans, v'holich v'yoshim minasiyam, and goes abroad, settles abroad, and v'atoneil deos b'fnei lovin. And if that behavior increases, so people will no longer lend money. You'll be locking the door of loans in front of those that really need to borrow, so as to guarantee a constant supply of loans. We ensure the lenders that when they come to collect, even if the borrower is not there, the court will intervene, descend upon the borrower's properties, and enable the lender to collect. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Kol Zman Sheitevas Ksubasa V'chulei. Rabbi Shimon, as you can see on the on Pei Zion Mebeis at the top, the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said something that needs explanation. He said, Kol Zman Sheitevas Ksubasa Yorshim Mashbienosa Vim Ein Tevas Ksubasa Ein Hayorshim Mashbienosa. And what the Gemara wants to know is that is this comment of Rabbi Shimon, what part of the Mishnah is it a reference to? Rabbi Shimon Ahei. Rabbi Shimon is going on what? What part of the Mishnah? Before we go any further, take note of the structure. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, Mivneh, and we indicate this goes until the end of Omid Beis. So it's one topic that will occupy us till the end of today's shiur. You notice the house marking. These are shlavim. These are stages. Levarer, to clarify. Ahechokoi divrei Rabbi Shimon b'soif haMishnah. So at each house, we will present a different suggestion, and the double underline highlights the expression. This hadgoshas means we highlight the expression the also Rabbi Shimon lemeimar, and then that Rabbi Shimon comes along with his comment. Now the first suggestion. Omer b'Yirmiyah, aha. The Mishnah taught v'nifras sheloi b'fonov, lo tifra elo b'shvua, lo shno l'mezoini v'lo shno l'ksuba. A woman who is coming to collect from her husband's property, he is not there, she needs to take a shvua in order to collect. No distinction being made whether she's trying to collect for her daily support, her mezoini, her food needs, veloshna l'ksuba, nor if she's coming to collect the ksuba, where he had sent her a get, let us say, long distance, and now she's coming to collect the ksuba, the husband's not there. In both cases, for mezonos and for ksuba, she needs to take a shvua. The also Rabbi Shimon lemeimar, and on this Rabbi Shimon says, "Kolz man shetevas ksubasa yorsheha mashbienosa." If she's coming to collect the ksuba payment, so then her heirs will make her swear that she hasn't received any payment. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Eino tevas ksubasa. If she's not coming to collect her ksuba, so then ein yorshin mashbien osa. Then the yorshim do not impose an oath upon her. And Rashi points out that they won't impose upon her an oath of apotropsis. Let us make a correction regarding the collection of mezonos. When we say that if she's coming to collect the mezonos, we're referring to a shvua. In the case of the Tanakama, they would have to swear that the woman would have to swear that her husband did not leave in her possession a separate account, like a pouch full of money for her mezonos purposes. So that's the Tanakama would be saying, lo shno le mezoni, velo shno le ksuba, she cannot collect unless she swears. Reb Shimon is saying that if she's coming to collect the ksuba, so then the orphans or the heirs can impose a shvua on her. However, if she's coming to collect mizonos, then the heirs will not be able to impose a shvua on her. V'komifligi b'plukto d'chonon u'bnei kaihanim gedolim. And this machlokis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon would parallel a machlokis between Hanan and the their and his opposing opinion, his opposers, the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, literally the sons of Kohanim Gedolim. It would appear to me that this, by setting it up like this, that the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon are paralleling this earlier machlokas Tanoim. Disnan, and this is found later in the Masichta, Misha Holach Limedina Sayam, Vishto Tavas Mizonos, a man who went abroad and his wife is seeking Mizonos payment, Chonon Omer, Tishava Besof, Lo Tishava Batchila, that means that only if she's coming to collect her ksuba, Besof means at the end, but it means that coming to collect her ksuba, then she needs to swear, but not if she's coming to collect mizonos. Nechliku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim. The b'nei kohanim gedolim argue with Chonon. V'yomru tishava b'tchilu b'sof. She has to swear on both occasions. So how would the parallel work out? Rabbi Shimon kechonon. Rabbi Shimon would be like Chonon that says for mizonos collection, for mizonos payment, the woman does not have to swear. And Rabbonon kivnei kohanim gedolim, and the Tanakama of Reb Shimon, that means the Rabbonon in our Mishnah would parallel the Bnei kohanim gedolim that say that she has to swear to collect both types of collections, ksuba and mizonos. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes has a very basic problem with this approach. If Reb Shimon is referring to the case of Nifras Shelo Bafonov, then the language of the Mishnah, Reb Shimon said, if she's Tovas, the Ksuba, then the Yorshin are going to impose a Shvua on her. According to the explanation that we're hearing from Reb Yirmiyah, Reb Shimon is going on a case of a woman trying to collect from her husband who is abroad, but there is a husband. How could Reb Shimon be making a reference to a case like that when he refers to the heirs imposing the shvua on her? Heirs indicates the husband is not alive. But the case of the mission of Nifras Shelo Bafonov, the husband is alive. So now we read that in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Hi, Yorshin Mashbien Osa, based in Mashbien Osa Miboyale. If, as Rav Yirmiyah suggested, it's going on a case of Nifras Shelo Bafonov, then the one who is imposing the Shvua would be the Basedin. And yet Reb Shimon speaks about the Yorshin Mashbien Osa. Elo Omar Rav Sheshes. So after Rav Sheshes raises his objection on Rav Yirmiyah's pshat, now Rav Sheshes gives us his pshat, his explanation. Aha, Reb Shimon is going on the following. The Mishnah that we're referring to is back on Pei Vavamid Beis. It has to do with a woman who had received an exemption from her husband from needing to swear in order to collect. Now that husband died. Holcha mikever baila lebeis avia ushechozra lebeis chamia. The wife of the deceased left the grave after burying her husband, returning to her father's house or returning to her own house. Falonasis apotropia, and she does not become an executor. The executor is a capacity in which we learned back on the Pevov that a wife who becomes an executor would have to swear that she didn't pocket any funds. But if she didn't become an executor, ein ha yorshin mashbien osa, then the yorshim, the heirs, will not impose a shvua on her. Vimnasis apotropia, And if this woman that had received an exemption from taking, from needing to take an oath, the exemption granted to her from her husband, if she becomes an apotropos at this point, Yorshin Mashbino Sal Osid Lavoy Velo Vien Mashbino Sal Amasha Ovar. They can impose a shvua on her financial conduct with regard to the estate from this point onwards, because from this point onwards the estate is theirs, it's not the husband's. The husband granted an exemption with regard to his estate, but it's no longer his estate because he's dead. He granted exemption for the woman needing to take a shvua regarding her dealings with the husband's properties. Right now, the husband—it's no longer the husband's property, so the previous exemption doesn't apply. However, the ain mashbino sa mashover—they don't impose a shvua on any dealings she had in the past with regard to the husband's properties while he was alive. The also Rabbi Shimon lemeimar, and Rabbi Shimon comes to be lenient, and he says, "Kolzman shetevask subasa yorshin mashbino sa." Only when she comes to collect her ksuba do the heirs impose a shvua on her, that she would, were, through which she would indicate she did not receive a ksuba payment. Eino tevas ksubasa, ein hayorshin mashbienosa. If she is not seeking her ksuba payment, then the yorshim cannot impose a shvua on her. What shvua? The shvua that the Tanakama said she would have to take, namely the shvuas apotropsis. Now, what about the explanation we gave before in the Tanakhama? Didn't that make any sense? How could Rav Shimon say against that? So we'll explain. The exemption, the kula that Rav Shimon is saying, is that she will not have to take a shvua regarding the apotropsis, even on the apotropsis, the executor conduct of executor roles that she carries out will not obligate her to swear, even if it's after the husband's death, even if it's her dealings with the property, with the estate after her husband's death. And why will she be exempt? Well, the svara that Rabbi Shimon is suggesting is because she would be acting as an apotropos that had been appointed by their father. And the thinking here is going to parallel the opinion of Abba Shol that we'll see in a source very shortly, that an apotropos that's appointed by the father of the Asayimim, if they knew that they would be subjected to taking an oath, they would not make themselves available to serve as an apotropos. And it's in everyone's interest that you have someone that functions as an apotropos, as an executor of the estate. So Reb Shimon then is coming to be mekil according to our understanding of things at this point. The komiflegi beplukta d'abashov rabbanan. The machlokes between the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon, as we're presenting it, would parallel a machlokes between Abba Shol and the Rabbanan in another source. Disnan, apotropos, one who is appointed as an executor. And there's always the, we'll say, the fear in people's minds that one who is dealing with other people's monies, with other people's estates, maybe they're going to pocket money. So, apotropos sheminehu avi yisoyimim yishava. An apotropos that was appointed by the father of orphans. So, that apotropos, when need be, can be made to swear that they didn't pocket funds. Minuhu based in lo yishava. However, if appointed by the court, a court-appointed apotropos does not swear. Abba Shol omer chiluf hadvarim. Abba Shol says the opposite. Mineu beisdin yishava. Mineu avi yisoyimim lo yishava. There are svaras that explain these two opinions. The issue is we'll say there's an underlying svara. Will the imposition of a shvua deter someone from accepting the role of apotropos? So according to the Tanakhama, a person who's appointed by the father of the assignment, even if they're made to take a shvua, that will not deter them from accepting apotropsis. The thinking being that the person who accepted the role of apotropos, when asked by the father to be so, and he accepts it, it must be because they had received some kind of favor from the father, and it's now their way of returning the favor. So the need to return the favor is an overriding concern, whereby a person says, even if I have to swear, it's so important for me to return the favor, I would be an apotropos anyway. However, when it comes to the court-appointed apotropos, so there was no favor that the apotropos ever received from the court, obviously. So that a person who's appointed by the court would accept the role of apotropos only on the condition that he would not be put into that uncomfortable position of having to swear. Abishol says the opposite. He says that someone who is appointed by the court, it's a sign that the court respects the individual, has a lot of faith in the individual. It's an honor to be appointed by the court to serve as an apotropos. It's a sign of quality for the person. So to receive that court-approved status is so valuable to a person that even if they're made to swear, that won't deter them from being an apotropos when requested by the court. However, on a personal level, when a father of Yisayimim asks someone to... when the father of these orphans would ask someone to... would have asked someone to be an apotropos, so they'll agree, provided that they don't have to take this oath. Because if they knew that they would have to swear at some point, they'll resist accepting that position. So now to parallel the opinions, Rabbi Shimon Kabashol, Rabbi Shimon, who had mentioned that if she's not collecting her ksuba, so the Yorshim are not going to be mashbia her, because she was an apotropos appointed by the father. And as Abishol says, an apotropos appointed by father does not swear. So Rabbi Shimon would parallel Abishol, Rabbonon kerabbonon, the Chachomim in our Mishnah that mentioned that the father appointed apotropos, i.e. the widow, would have to swear. That's like the Rabbonan who said that Mineu Avi Yisayim Yishava. Maskif lo Abaye. Now Abaye raises an objection. If Rav Sheshes' approach is correct, then the language in which Rabbi Shimon speaks doesn't reflect Rav Sheshes's presentation. According to Rav Sheshes's presentation, Rabbi Shimon was coming to be lenient vis-a-vis the Tanakhama, whereas the Tanakhama said, as a father appointed apotropos, she would have to swear. Rabbi Shimon says she would not have to swear. So Rabbi Shimon is being lenient. The language, though, that Rabbi Shimon uses doesn't reflect that. So Rabbi says, "Hi, Kolzman Shetevas Ksubasa." That Rabbi Shimon, that language, im tovas mi boyle. Rabbi Shimon should have said, instead of as long as she's tovas ksuba, he should have said, if she's tovas ksuba, then she has to swear. But if not, she doesn't have to swear. That would indicate leniency. But the language Rabbi Shimon used was not that at all. Ela Omar Abaye, aho. Rabbi Shimon is arguing, he's on that which appeared in the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kosav lo neder ushvua ein li olech, and this, again, is a throwback to the Mishnah on Pei Vov, on Daf Pei Vov, the Reisha of the of the quote that we had that was brought by Rav Sheshes. That was the end of the Mishnah Peivav. This is the beginning of the Mishnah Peivav. Kosavlaw, the husband wrote to his wife an exemption from taking vows. Nedu shvua ein li olayich, eino yochol lahashbia. V'chulei. The quote here is terse. Nedu shvua ein li v'lo li yorshai v'lo l'boim b'shusi. Olayich v'al yorshai v'al boim b'shuseich. If the husband writes over a broad exemption from vows and oaths in this fashion, ein yochol lahashbia lo hu v'lo yorshav v'lo haboim b'rishuso lo hi v'lo yorshav v'lo haboim b'rishuso. So that we'll say blanket exemption indicates that not only can the husband not impose a shvua on her, nor can his yorshim, his heirs, impose a shvua on her, nor people that bought property from him when she comes to collect. V'yosir Rabbi Shimon lemeimar, kol zman shetivask subosa, yorshim mashbianosa. If she comes to collect the ksuba, even if she had received a husband exemption, she can be made to take a shvua. Rabbi Shimon is being machmir, which the lashon reflects, this version reflects that. And now this idea that Rabbi Shimon is saying that even if she receives an exemption, she can be made to take a shvua in order to collect the ksuba. The komiflegi beplukta de abashol ben imo miriam verabonan. This machlokes between the chachomim and Rabbi Shimon, it will parallel a machlokes on Daf Pei Zayin between Abishol ben Imo Miriam and the Rabbanan, where Abishol ben Imo Miriam had expressed the approach or the practice that even though a woman had received exemption, there's an overriding principle of Habali Para Minichsi Yisayimim Eino Nifra Elo B'Shvua, that one who tries to collect from heirs, they have to take a shvua. So that opinion would then be would parallel as follows: Rabbi Shimon Ka'abashol. Rabbi Shimon, who here is the stringent opinion, he follows Abashol's opinion of stringency. Rabbonon. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan that are the Tanakam of Rabbi Shimon, will reflect the Chachamim that said of Rabbi Shimon that said that the exemption is effective even for her ksuba collection. She won't have to swear. That will parallel the Rabbanan that argue with Abba Shol ben Imo Miriam. Maskif lo Rav Papa. Ha Tenach, Rav Papa says that this explanation will be good, might be good for the beginning of Rav Shimon's comment. Kol zman shetevask subasa. Namely, that Rav Shimon is holding like Abba Shol ben Imosh Miriam, that when a woman is coming to collect the ksuba, she has to take the shvua, regardless of the fact that there may have been some husband originated exemption. But Rav Shimon said something else. Eino toivask subasa mai iko lemeimar. What does the end of Rabbi Shimon's comment mean? That was not accounted for by Abaye's presentation. Elo omar of papa lafuke midrebelozer umach lukoso. This is a bit abbreviated. So Rashi explains. Let's look together. Let's go through the Rashi on this. Rashi we're looking at is about a third of the way up from the end of the Rashi. Elo omar of papa lafuke midrebelozer umach lukoso klomar. Lo tema, don't say that Reb Shimon akosav lo nedru shvua l'chud polig. That Reb Shimon is coming to argue. Reb Shimon, who speaks about imposing a shvua when she comes to collect her suba, don't say that he's referring. He's a reference or coming to argue only on the case of the woman who had received an exemption that the Tanakhama spoke about. He's not coming to argue only on that. Ela akule milsa de Rebbe Lozer uvne machlukoso polig. He's arguing with that which we saw back on Pei Vav Amid Beis in the name of Rebbe Lozer and those that argued with him. As Rashi explains, Aresha v'Seifa Shaminhu de Koamri Rebbe Lozer Rabbonon, that is, Reb Shimon heard Rebbe Lozer and the Rabbonon saying, Mashbio kozman shiyutze shvuas apetroipa hecha de lo potra min haneder umina shvua. That where a woman did not receive an exemption from taking shvuas, so the husband can impose a shvuas apotropsis on her. Vafilu shelo bishas tvias ksubosa. At any time, even if it's outside the context of the woman seeking payment for her ksuba. So that if there's no shvua exemption, that the Rabbonin Rebbe Lozer back on Pei Vav would say that the husband can impose the apotropis shvua on her at any time. V'im potro min hashvua, afilu yorshim ein mashpien oisa, kishenifras mehem. And if she received a shvua exemption, even heirs cannot impose a shvua when she's coming to collect from them. Kidekotani, as it taught there, neder ushvua ein liv liyorshai, etc. That part of the Mishnah that spoke about a formal exemption, that exemption really exempts her. The Osir Rebbe Shimon LeMeimar, Kozman Shetevas Ksubosa Yorshin Mashbian Osa. If the woman is coming to collect her ksuba, then Yorshim can impose a shvua on her. V'afilu kosav lo neder ushvua ein liyorshai olayech ke'avoshol. Even though she received an exemption, nevertheless, we saw the opinion of Avoshol ben Imo Miriam that what can I do? We have an overriding clause or klal, a principle that habali par minichs yisem einu nifel b'shvua, that one who comes to collect from orphans needs to take a shvua. However, einu toivas ksubasa, if the woman is not coming to claim her ksuba, ein hayorshin mashpien al apetrepe shibachay bailov afilu lo potra min hashvua. Yorshim have no right to impose a shvua on the almona if she's not coming to collect the ksuba, even concerning apotropsis that she had done in the lifetime of her husband. V'afilu lo potrim in hashvua, even if she had not received an exemption. The leslay the Rabbi Lozer machlukuso the Amri mashbil kozman shiurtze, because Rabbi Shimon does not hold from Rabbi Lozer and the Chachamim that appeared on Pei Vav Amud Beis that suggested she can be subjected to a shvua any time it is desired. Thusly, so the Rashi lays out the framework for understanding Rabbi Shimon, not just the framework but the details. When Rabbi Shimon imposes a shvua, and when Rabbi Shimon does not impose a shvua, and demonstrates how Rabbi Shimon is coming to argue with that school of thought that was presented in the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis, namely Rabbi Lozer and the Chachamim that spoke about the that a woman who does not receive an exemption can be made to take a shvuas apotropsis at any time. And Rabbi Shimon comes to argue with that, saying, no way. Only when she comes to collect the ksuba can she be subjected to a shvua. And that shvua is far-reaching, even in the case of a woman who had received an exemption. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.